2 Kings chapter 18 in your Bible, and I mentioned earlier that we're going to be looking at Hezekiah over the next little bit. As we finish up, our theme this year is the just shall live by faith. Look at the faith of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is one of the individuals, I believe, in the Old Testament that kind of gets lost a little bit. But God spends a great deal of time on the life of Hezekiah. For we see that there are three major sections of Scripture that deal with his life. What we're reading here in 2 Kings chapter 18, and also we find a large section of the book of Chronicles deals with his life, and also the prophet Isaiah spends a great time. Isaiah, the most part of Isaiah is prophecy, but there's a historical section there as well. And a lot of that historical section deals with the life of Hezekiah. And so if God put three large extended portions of Scripture to deal with the life of Hezekiah, then certainly it would do us well to consider what he says. And so we're going to read 2 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to start with verse 1 and read down through verse number 8. 2 Kings chapter 18, starting with verse 1, it says, "It came to pass, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. And he smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city." Let's pray together. Lord, we do love you and thank you for today. Thank you for these accounts we find in Scripture of Hezekiah, of what you allowed him to do and how you used him and how he yielded his life to you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand. And Lord, we pray that we would look at his life and identify with it and say, I want to be like that. I want to make changes in my life that would make me more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. Bless now our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hezekiah means Jehovah is my strength. I always like to look at what names mean. Jehovah is my strength. And that just calls us to a question. Where do you find strength day by day for your life? Hezekiah by his name. Every time his name said in that, what they were saying, when they said Hezekiah, they were saying Jehovah is my strength. That was his name. Where do you find strength? You find strength in family and friends, or we should do that. We find strength in our resources. There's nothing wrong with having resources. But when it comes right down to it, when everything else is stripped away, much like Job, where's your strength? Where's your confidence? Hezekiah did not have a good beginning. He didn't have a good role model as a father. In 2 Kings chapter 16, just back a page or two, talks about his father Ahaz. Listen to what it says about him. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 2 says, 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, notice, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. First of all, he didn't do right. Then notice in verse 3, but walked in the way of the kings of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel had already gone into idolatry by this time and was not serving God, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. This was his father. This is who he was raised with. He was the king. And I was thinking about our Sunday school lesson this morning, look at the genealogies, where not many women are mentioned in the genealogies, but here we find that almost all the king's mother is mentioned. I think there's a couple reasons for that. And one, many times the kings had a number of wives, and so I point out which wife this child was a descendant of. But also we find that it was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. His mother obviously had a great influence on him. His father was a wicked man. He came to the throne. He decided he was not only not going to do right, but he was going to be actively involved in the idolatry of the land, in so much that notice what it says about him, that he made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen. Moloch was one of the heathen gods of the land. A great brazen idol. They would build a fire inside the idol until the idol was hot. And they would sacrifice infants in the arms of a burning hot idol. I don't know if exactly what it's referring to, but it looks like that. He sacrificed his own son to a heathen idol. Hezekiah didn't have a good role model as a father. But as we see in this scripture, we see he made some choices. Paul in the New Testament uses the phrase, the things which have happened unto me. We have to be careful about the things which have happened unto us. Because Hezekiah could look back and he could make excuses for not taking the kind of stand he should for God, because he said, after all, look at my father. Look at what my father did. I'm a lot better than my father. I'm doing better than that. I'm a lot better than the previous generation. And he could make excuses for not serving God, for not making right choices. But Hezekiah said, I'm going to make right choices regardless of who my father is, regardless of the idolatry of my father, regardless of what he did to my brother. I am going to do right. I am going to serve God. We see several things in my Bible. I write a lot in my Bible. I've got a number of things underlined and numbered in this short portion of Scripture that Hezekiah did. Some things I think if we look at it and say, you know what, I have to make the same kind of choices that Hezekiah. Now, the question is, do you want to serve God? Do you want to be, we sing a song, oh, to be like the blessed, do we want to be like Jesus Christ? Then there's some things we need to do. You say, well, you know what, I'm 45, 55, 65, 75, 80. Well, I know, but it's a constant daily thing for us. It's not that we can do, you know, salvation is once for all. Salvation, we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Eternity is settled for us. Heaven is settled. We come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. All of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. The song says, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. But daily, we have to surrender to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Daily, we have to make choices. Notice the first thing we see about Hezekiah in verse 3. It says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Now, David wasn't certainly his father. David was back many generations. But David, if you will, was the standard, the man after God's own heart, that the kings were judged by. And we see that it says of Hezekiah that he did that which was right. You know, doing right is a choice. It's a matter of the will. If we as individuals simply do what comes natural to us, most often we will not do right. Because the heart, remember Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now we should take that and change it. It said, my heart is deceitful. above all things. My heart. We don't like to admit that. We can say, make a general statement. We don't like it. Bring it down home to us. And so, if we are going to do right, we have to make choices. It's a choice we have to make. We come to a circumstance. We come to a decision. We come to an encounter with an individual. We come to some media that we're involved with, and we say, I have to make a choice with this. You know, your life today is the sum of choices you have made. Your life today is the sum of choices you have made. We make a lot of choices all the time. Sometimes we don't consciously think a lot about choices. We probably should think more about them. We choose to do something, and sometimes we don't think of the consequences of it. I was in Walmart the other day. That was a choice. I went to Walmart on purpose. I had to pick up a couple of things, and I always go down the book aisle there at Walmart because I like to read, and their books are a pretty good price, and then the books are advertised $2 for $15. The pocketbooks, and there was a book, one of my favorite authors is Clive Cussler. He writes a lot of seafaring books. And so there's one there I liked, and so I thought I'd pick it up, and I said, well, $2 for $15, this one's $7.50. Doesn't that make sense? $2 for $15, one costs $7.50. One costs $13.95, I found out though. You had to buy two to get the deal. And I got up, and I didn't make the choice to investigate further. And I found out I paid $13.95 for a book. I could have, for another dollar, I could have had two books. But I didn't make the choice to investigate. We do that a lot of times when we make decisions. We don't take the choice to investigate. If I decide to do this, how will it affect God? If I decide to do this, how will it affect others? If I decide this, how will it affect me? How will it affect my testimony? Choices we make. You know, it's choices you have made, not what others have done to you. Remember what he said of Paul, the things that have happened unto me, and he a whole list of bad things. I mean, beaten and shipwrecked, left for dead and betrayed, all kinds of things. He says, have fallen out, or the end result of things, because Paul responded to them properly. The things that have happened unto me have fallen rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, we can all look back in our life and we can say, look at things that have happened to us. People that have betrayed us, people that have hurt us, people that have lied about us, all kinds of people that have stolen from us sometimes. We can all look back and we can get angry and we can get upset and we can become bitter and we can become angry and all those things about all the things that have happened unto us. Or we can say with Paul, I'm going to use the things for God's honor and glory, and I'm going to allow the things that happened to me to further the gospel. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He made right choices. A friend of mine used to say, things will be different tomorrow because of decisions you make today. Things will be different tomorrow because of decisions you make today. You know, don't take for granted a seemingly insignificant decision. We just finished the week in Remembrance Day and all those things a bit ago. And I was never in the armed forces. When I was turning 18, I graduated from high school. The economy wasn't terribly good in Michigan at the time, and I didn't have a prospect of a job. And so this is the middle of the Vietnam War. And you know, sometimes 18-year-olds aren't real bright. Did you ever notice that? I'm sorry if anybody's 18 here. But I thought, well, you know what I should do? I should join the military right in the middle of the Vietnam War. I mean, they're having to draft people to make them go. And so I went and saw the Navy recruiter because my dad was in the Navy, and I thought I'd join the Navy, and I thought I'd be involved in underwater demolition. Now, that sounded exciting. I like to swim. I like to swim underwater. And like any 18-year-old boy, I like to blow things up. And so I thought, if I can swim underwater and plant explosives and blow things up, that would be great. I'll join the Navy. Well, I saw the Navy recruiter. And he said, we'd love to have you, but we can't guarantee you a school and a specific field, but, you know, we'll test you and put you where you're best. And I thought, you know, I know what, I'm not dumb. My best will be holding a gun someplace with the Viet Cong just over there. That's not it. I'm not going there. So I went to the Army. The Army that time said, we'll guarantee you a school. You come and we'll guarantee, if you go through basic training and we don't send you to the place where you're going to get that schooling, that we guarantee you, we'll cut you loose. You no longer have an obligation to the Army. I thought that was pretty good. Made an appointment to go to Detroit and get my physical and head off to Fort Knox, Kentucky for basic training. A week or so before that, I was scheduled to go. Neighbor came across the road and he said, we're finished up a school building up in Bellevue, Michigan, and we need somebody to sweep floors and clean up, and he was going to pay me the grand total of, I think it was in 1971, and I was thinking I was making $3 or $3.50 an hour. It looked something like a lot of money then. I didn't have any money in my pocket, so I said, well, I'll work for a few weeks and finish this up, and I'll delay my going. So I made a decision that night. Remember, it was Wednesday evening. Made a decision that night. I'll go to work with him tomorrow, work a few weeks, and then I'll go. But you know what? They never laid me off. I didn't go take my physical. I didn't enlist. A small decision, probably 9 or 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night, changed the course of my life. Don't think decisions you make today are so insignificant. Because of things will be different tomorrow because of decisions you make today. I don't know what decision you might be facing. You know, our life is made up of decisions. But Hezekiah determined that in each decision, he was going to seek to do right. So he did that, which is right. Look at verse 4. Secondly, he removed the high places. Break down the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made for unto those days. The children of Israel burned incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Nehushtan means a piece of brass. This brazen serpent that Moses had made when the serpents were biting everybody, they'd kept it around, and now people were worshiping this brazen serpent. And Hezekiah said, rightly, that's just a piece of brass. There's nothing about that that has any value. It has no spiritual value. It's a piece of brass. But the thing I want you to understand here is that he tore down the altars his fathers had built and worshipped at. He tore down the altars his fathers had built and worshipped at. His father, Ahaz, he was an idolater. He not only tolerated idolatry, but he promoted it. He not only tolerated and promoted, but he participated in idolatry. And Hezekiah understood that if he was going to serve God, if he was going to be the kind of king that God wanted him to be, that some of the altars his father had built, he had to tear them down. Again, we understand that generations in our lives have built altars to certain things. We see in our society today, there's an altar built to money. There's an altar built to popularity. There's an altar built to success. There's an altar built to pleasure. There's an altar, we can go on and on. Our fathers have built those. And we have to understand that we need to call it like Moses, like Hezekiah did, Nehushtan, a piece of brass. This is nothing that has any value. Sure, we must have money to operate. And sure, we understand that a lot of things are necessary in our lives. But they are Nehushtan. They're a piece of brass. They're nothing that has eternal value. We need to tear them down. And we can't blame in our lives, say, well, my father did this and their father before them. Heard of a lady that she was getting ready to cook a ham for her Easter meal. One of these hams was, you know, about that long, a rolled ham without any meat, without any bones in it. And so she took that ham and she cut one end off, about that much off one end, she cut about that much off the other end, and put it in her pan and put it in the oven. And her daughter said, Mom, why do you cut the ends off the roast? Well, that's the way my mother always did it. And so the daughter, she went to, she says, "Grandma, when you cooked hams, you always cut the ends off the roast." "Yeah. Why did you do that? Was there, is it important?" She says, "It wouldn't fit in my pan." You see, we have to understand that sometimes we misinterpret why the last generation did some things. And sometimes the things they did were just wrong, and we have put them behind us. He removed the high places. The third thing we see of Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Notice the writer is very specific here. He trusted in the Lord, Jehovah. The Jehovah God. The Jehovah God of Israel. He said, "I am trusting in Him." Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Verses have been important to me for many, many years. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." What do we trust in? What do we trust in? Kind of goes back to the high places. We can trust a lot of things. Song says, "The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own." We can trust ourselves, but we know ourselves how weak and frail we are, and how often we fail ourselves. We can say, "I'm going to put my trust in others," and understand that others will let you down. Most times they don't plan to. They don't mean to. Someone can say, "Yes, I'll be there at 3 o'clock," and they don't show up. Circumstances, and you trusted that they would be there, but they didn't show up. They didn't mean to. It just something happened in circumstances. He trusted in the eternal God. We see the fourth thing there, that he clave to the Lord. Verse 6. "For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses." He was committed to following the Lord. He clave to him. It's like being stuck to him. The scripture says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding." 1 Corinthians 15. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. He clave to the Lord. I do woodworking sometimes, and I'm always amazed with when you're gluing two pieces of board together. You glue them together, let the glue cure and dry, and you try to separate them. You try to separate them, you know that the glue will not break normally. Mm-hmm. You tear away the wood, sometimes on one side, sometimes on both sides. You see, Hezekiah said, "I am cleaving to the Lord. I am glued, if you will, to the Lord. I am stuck fast. I am steadfast with the Lord. Nothing is going to remove me, because I know in removing me, it's going to do damage to me. It's going to tear something away from me if I fall from my steadfastness." Again, a choice. He chose to be steadfast. He chose to follow God's commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. He said, "I'm going to look back. I'm going to go back to the beginning. Moses went up on Mount Sinai and received commandments from God, the Ten Commandments, plus the other commandments that were given of Moses. Some say 613 commandments altogether. I am going to meticulously follow what the Word of God says." See, he knew that he not only was responsible for himself, but his family, but he was responsible for a kingdom. As the king went, we look at the nation. As the king went, we find so went the nation over and over again. We see before Hezekiah, his father Ahaz, an ungodly man, an idolater, and the nation followed after him in his idolatry. Hezekiah comes to power, and we find that because Hezekiah takes a stand, because they see a consistency in his life, that they determine they're going to follow Hezekiah. The nation was affected. He was committed to following the Lord. So the next thing we see in verse 7, he refused to serve the world. Verse 7, "The Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went. Fourth, notice, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, and the towers of the watchmen in the fenced city. He refused to serve the world. He made a choice. The Assyrians were the most powerful empire in the area at the time. Later on, I mean, they were the ones that had taken the northern kingdom into captivity in 721 BC. Now, they're a threat to Hezekiah. The Philistines, the enemies of David and Saul years before, were still there and they were still causing problems. But he refused to serve Assyria. He refused to serve the Philistines. He made choices. If we go back to the book of Exodus, we find Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of Israel. He made a choice. Daniel chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor the wine which he made. He said, I'm making a choice. He says, I'm not going to serve the world. I'm not going to be involved with this. I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make a clear distinction in my life. And Hezekiah said, I'm not going to serve the Assyrians. And we find that, and we'll see a little later on, we find the Assyrians attack. And it's a serious problem for Hezekiah and for the children of Israel. He refused to serve. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, we find a conclusion. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 21. Says, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and the commandments, to seek his God. He did it with all his heart and prospered. We like the last word of that verse. He prospered. We like to be prosperous. We like to have a prosperous family, a family that's healthy and growing and things are going well in our family. We like to be prosperous economically. We like to be prosperous socially. But this isn't really what is speaking when it says Hezekiah prospered. He grew in his relationship with God. Why? Because he sought his God. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, usually we find what we're looking for. What are you looking for in life? There's a good chance you're going to find it if you look hard enough. But if we look and are seeking after God, we will find true prosperity. And while we seek after God, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. He said, all these things, what the things that the Gentiles seek after. I mean, wealth and prosperity and position. He says, you're going to have everything you need. Might not have everything you want, but you're going to have everything you need. He sought God and he prospered. You know, Hezekiah has a great testimony in the Word of God. He wasn't perfect. We see some problems, and God is not blind to the problems of Hezekiah. But he set up for us as an example to learn some things from his life, that as we learn from his life, we might be more like Jesus Christ, just like Hezekiah was like his father, David, in serving God as king of Israel. I wonder today if we made some choices. So I'm going to do what's right, regardless of the circumstance. I'm just going to do what's right. I'm going to tear down some of the things that my ancestors have built. Call it Nehushtan, a piece of brass. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be stuck to God. That nothing will separate me. Height nor depth nor any other. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. I'm just stuck there. And I'm going to refuse to serve the world. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to make that conscious choice. I will not. I've decided to follow Jesus. And if I decide to follow Jesus, then the world's behind me and the cross before me, and there's no turning back. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?